My name is Dolores Stanford. I am at my home, and basically I have stayed in my home most of the time for the past 2 or 3 years that the COVID's been out, and I live alone. So I don't have, and I have not had any people in here, except certain people who have had their shots and have never had COVID. The only time I do go out would be to go food shopping and to go to the post office and to the pharmacy, but I wear a mask the entire time. I'm on the street and inside a building because there are people around and you do not know if they've had shots or if they've had COVID, even if they're out in public. They might have had it before. Makes me feel more secure by doing those preliminary things in order to prevent me from getting it. The reason I feel that way about the COVID and what's going on is I feel that doing the shots, and I've had the boosters, is the fact that if you do get it, it at least keeps you out of a ventilator. It doesn't prevent you from getting it. I really more or less think about the way we went about when there was polio, when I was like in second grade, back when Eisenhower was president, we all had polio shots. And nobody complained about it. None of the adults, none of the children. And they came in and gave us polio shots right at our desk, sitting in our seat, doing the whole school. So I felt that's what the COVID thing remind me about when they were giving out shots. Other than that, I basically know that doing these shots and things, we are being experimented upon by the pharmaceutical companies and the government. And it's just the way it is. It's reality. And you can't ignore it.
Would you tell me what the word pandemic means to you?
Pandemic? It means, to me, pandemic means something that everyone is going to catch, and it has to do, for me, pandemics remind me it has to do with the entire world. There are pandemics in probably every country in the world, some form of pandemic. Another pandemic that we had was AIDS, that people had to deal with and didn't know anything about. And it took them quite a few years before they even had medicine to take care of these people that had AIDS to prolong their life, and also for them to be able to live with the disease. That was kind of a pandemic for a while, because you didn't know anything about it. Men were getting it, women were getting it, people were getting it, and it was all being sexually transmitted. Whereas the COVID-19 is not being, say, sexually transmitted, it is being blown through the air. That is why we have to wear masks. So, because it has to do with our breathing. And of course you wash your hands and do all those kind of things, which is a deterrent. And other than that, it's a different kind of pandemic from something we've had before.
Before COVID-19, what was your day-to-day life looking like?
Huh?
What was your day-to-day life looking like pre-pandemic? Beforehand.
Well, before I could go to the art museum. I didn't have to call and make appointments. Now that things are opening up after 2 or 3 years, you have to make appointments. You have to do Zoom calls. Didn't have to do that before. You kind of feel isolated as far as doing normal life things. Going to the movies, you can't be in a room with a lot of people because they're breathing. You can't be in areas where parties, weddings, even with your family, Thanksgiving, Christmas, holidays, planes. It limits you from actually having a regular, normal life. You have to think twice about before you do anything. It has stopped people from living a day-to-day normal life.
Do you remember when you first heard about COVID-19?
No. Probably on, the first time I probably heard about it was on the television, on news.
When you first started hearing about it, what were your early reactions?
I don't think that I had any kind of fears or any of that because I didn't know enough about it to have an opinion mm-hmm. about it. I had to wait until I heard more and more about it from the news and what we had to do. We had to wear masks. Then I knew that I better wear masks. We had to wash our hands, we were told. Things like that. That's just my earliest experience. And so I just continued for 3 years.
When did you start to notice that it was getting really serious?
Uh, when I was listening to the news, and everybody had it in Japan, all over the world, Russia, France, England, Africa, every country in the world, Ethiopia, Turkey, every country in the world had it. And they didn't have a, what do you call it?
A vaccine.
A vaccine. They hadn't developed a vaccine yet. People were dying from it. And getting very ill and dying from it. Because they hadn't gotten a vaccine yet. And that went on for, I'd say, a good year. And then they finally got a vaccine. And even with the vaccine, they weren't even sure. Because they hadn't tested it for a couple years. It was only like, a couple months or whatever. So basically, that's why I said that we were an experiment when we took the vaccines. We were all hoping that it would work.
When you decided to get vaccinated, how easy was it for you to get an appointment?
I had to go into the internet, and they were giving vaccines in certain drugstores in certain places, but you didn't know where. And then when you did know where, you had to call and make an appointment. And sometimes they would run out of the vaccines in the different places. So I went and called Black Doctors, Dr. Stanford, and I got an appointment with them, and that's how I got my vaccine. Both times, I went to 21st and Lehigh, to the church there, a Black church, and then after that, I went back, I called them, and then they gave me my second appointment. And that's how I did that. And my second appointment was up at Temple.
How did your body react to the vaccine?
Nothing. I felt nothing. I didn't get sick. I just skipped down the street. I didn't get ill or anything from the vaccine.
What's isolation been like for you?
It's been depressing. I have anxiety. And fortunately, I'm used to living alone. So that didn't bother me, living alone. But it bothered me because I could not invite friends over for dinner. I couldn't have just go out and be at any restaurant I want or whatever. It limited me. I basically did my own cooking and my own food and everything for the whole time. Thank God that I am a sous chef and I know how to cook, and my mother, my grandmother, all the women in my family are cooks. So I had wonderful meals. Other than that, That's where that's at.
How did you keep in touch with friends?
Mostly I was on the phone. I mostly did all my phone calling and called friends, see how they were doing. Called my sister, who is in her, is 83 now. I called all my old family up. I called all my elders. Basically called by phone. Everything by phone. Even if it was calling the phone company or any kind of public services or whatever. Everything had to be called by the phone or you had to do it on the computer.
How easy was it for you to do things on the computer?
Not very easy for me because I'm not computer oriented. Other than going to college and doing all my term papers, I'm really not computer oriented. I really don't even, I have attention deficit disorder when it comes to computers.
What does the word health mean to you?
It means the, for me, health means the condition in which my body is in. Whether I'm good health, which is most of the time, I really don't have any ailments. Like high blood pressure or any of those kind of things. I've been tested for everything. I did my colonoscopy, my heart test, every test you can think of that you have to take, I took, mammogram, whatever. So I've done all those things. You know, the only problem I had was that I did have an accident with my back, and I broke my back 2 years. It'll be 2 years, this coming October 16th. And that was the only thing that I had a problem with. So I couldn't ride my bike. I couldn't lift anything heavy, more than 5 pounds. When I went food shopping, I took my cart because I could not carry. Because I was used to doing it on my bike and putting it in the baskets and riding, not carrying. That was the biggest inconvenience with this pandemic.
When you broke your back, how did you get, what was the healthcare access like? Because the pandemic was still going on.
I went to Pennsylvania Hospital, had x-rays done. They took care of everything. I had doctors. They took care of me right away. I had all my appointments for my back. And with no problem. And I got all my medicines and everything. That kind of thing. Other than that, I just had to take care of my back. You know.
Was it scary being in the hospital?
I didn't stay in the hospital. I was an outpatient. So basically, they took all my x-rays and did all my things. They put a brace on my back, and I had to sleep with it for almost a month. And it was hard sleeping, I'll tell you that much for it. Other than that, they gave me medicine to put on my back. Patches. And that was it. Yeah, lidocaine. Mm-hmm. Lidocaine patches. Mm-hmm. I forget. And other than that, they told me I had osteoporosis. So I do take calcium. And I didn't have osteoporosis like 2 years ago, but now I have it. So I do have to take calcium. And that's about it. And I'm just waiting to get... and then therapy. Of course, I had to do back therapy. And I just have to do my therapy every day. And basically wait until I get stronger. The muscles around my back and my body. And see where it goes from there. The doctors did tell me that I would always have pain. Or discomfort with my back, my lower back. So that limits me from being able to go to work in the profession that I did work in, which was catering. And other than that, that's about where that's at.
Were friends and family able to check up on you?
Who? Friends and family?
Yeah, after
we call each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, friends and family, we call each other. And I, of course, I call my sister every couple days. Yeah. You know, and always on Sunday. Yeah. And then I call my niece. But my older sister, I call every other day.
What does the word safety mean to you? Safety.
Safety?
Yeah, what does the word safety mean to you?
Safety means I have to be careful where I walk. When I feel that I'm imbalanced, I use a cane. And basically, I have to be slow and deliberate when I do things. Because of my age now.
What are some of the things that you've done to keep yourself feeling safer from COVID?
Keep myself safe?
Safe from COVID.
Safe?
Yeah.
Staying in my house all the time keeps me safe from COVID by being inside all the time.
What are some of the things you've noticed about other people and safety?
Now that they feel, other people, now that they feel they have some freedom or whatever, they are not wearing their mask all the time. And when I get on the bus, you're supposed to wear your mask. And some people aren't wearing their mask. I don't understand why not. Don't they realize that they can, it's not over? And I want to say to them, what do you think, it's over? You know, but they probably get nasty with me. And I said to, and I feel like yelling on the bus and telling them that we got two more years of this. It's not over. We got two more years. And it's reality. If you have any kind of common sense, if you've had any kind of, if you read, and I do read AARP, and they have even said that because of this COVID, that after it's over, we won't even know what organs in our body is going to be affected.
How does that make you feel?
Well, because it's really out of my control. It's something that I can't control. It's something that I can't fix. All I can do is live with it and hope for the best. And pray a lot. You know, which I do anyway. And that's it. And live my life the best I can. It's like anybody that has any kind of thing wrong with them. You try to, you know, whether you have you just live with it.
What are some of the things that you want for your own health?
My own health?
Yeah.
To lose the weight that I gained while I've been inside the house. You know, the 10 or 15 pounds I gained. It's only in one area. It's not my wrist. Lose the weight that I gained because I want to be able to fit back into my clothing.
Other than the pandemic, have there been other social and political issues that have been on your mind over the last couple of years?
Yes, the way that this government treats my people, Native Americans, and I'm in good standing with my tribe, that bothers me a whole lot. And that's been bothering me for decades. Not because of the pandemic.
Is there anything more you want to say about the government handling either the pandemic or anything more generally with Native Americans?
When it comes to the government, I am not all very happy with our government. They seem to always be fighting with each other, the Democrats and the Republicans and all kinds of things, and not getting anything done for the people in this country. Or it takes them a long time to take care of any kind of atrocities that happen in the United States. Instead of preventing it before it happens, this government seems to wait until it happens, and then it takes them a while to take care of it. Which is wrong. I feel this way because I'm, at one time, I traveled with one of my fathers, and I'm an Army brat. So I know what this government is about. Orders from the Pentagon. That's what that means. We're leaving. We're orders from the Pentagon. Basically, other things that worry me, until the history of this country is written correctly, we will always have racism in this country until the history is written with properly about all the people that have come here. The true history, not the history written by the people who have conquered this country, America, as they call it. Until that happens, I think there will always be constant turmoil, which is something that bothers me a lot, more than the pandemic.
Why does it bother you?
Because it bothers me because people are not treated fairly. It is our class system in this country has gone away. Years ago, you were either rich or you had three different degrees of middle class. You had upper middle class, middle class, and lower middle class. And then you had poor. Now we don't have any of that. You either have rich or poor. And that's the way the country's going, because of the corporations, the pharmaceutical companies, and the oil companies. They are controlling the United States and the government. Yes, that bothers me a whole lot.
How are you feeling about the immediate future?
The media?
The immediate future. So like the next...
I have no idea about the future. Because there's just so much going on. As far as my future goes, I'm an artist, and my future is creating and making myself happy, painting, drawing, all the different forms of art I do. That is my future.
What are some of your hopes for a long-term future?
For a long-term future, I really am not really sure, because I am at the age of 73. I don't even think, I can't even think of long term, because friends are dying at 50, 60, 70, 80. I don't know when it'll happen. I could die tomorrow. So I try to live every day the best I can. And try to make myself happy.
What are some of the things you do to keep yourself happy?
My art. Watching different shows on PBS. When there are good ones on. Playing in my garden. That's about it.
Do you think?
Since I can't ride my bike anymore, I can't lift it in and out of the house.
Do you think there'll ever be the kind of true history written that you want people to write?
Nope.
Why not?
Until the people who came here on the tall ships get their act together and their prejudices and you know how the conqueror writes the history the way they want to see it and not the way it really is. And a lot of lies are in it. And mistruths. Until that happens, which I do believe that I'll just say it now. White people don't want too many people of color to have too much control, because then they would have control of their money. And they're in fear of having them in control of their money.
What do you think people in the humanities can be doing to help us understand the pandemic better?
That answer, I can't answer that because I don't know. I really haven't had any thoughts on that. If the news media hasn't influenced people by now, I don't know what will. The amount of deaths that have happened because of the pandemic, if that hasn't taught people things, I don't know what will.
I'd like you to imagine speaking to a historian in the future, someone so far away that they have no lived experience of this moment. What would you tell them they can't forget about right now?
I really don't know. Because of the fact that we've had other epidemics, and I don't think that people even have thought about them. I mean, about the different pandemics that we've had. Once they're gone, I think people just go off and just forget about it. Just like they've forgotten about history. Most people don't even know the history of this country or of the world. Why we had different wars. Why, I mean, even the Civil War or the 1800 War or the First World War or the Korean War. I mean, the Second World War. It was only 10 years in between the First World War and Second World War. And then you had the Korean War. And then you had the Vietnamese, you know, then you had that war. There has always been conflict. And it seems to me that every time there's conflict or whatever, as I told you, corporations and different things of that nature, they make money when there is war. And that is the way it is.
I want to thank you so much, Dolores, for answering these questions with me today. Right now, I just want to ask if there's anything you want to say to whoever might be listening to this. Please take some time and tell them what you think they should hear.
Huh?
Tell them what you think they should hear, anyone listening to this.
The only thing they can do is, the only thing that helps is education. Whether you educate yourself, which I did all my life, I educated myself. I did a lot of reading. Anything that I wanted to find out about, I researched. I research and basically knowledge is the only thing that really people need to do. And there are people that are intellectuals, but they all talk to each other. People that are not interested in certain things don't care. It's just the way it is. Basically, education. And unfortunately, in this country, education has gotten worse. You're not allowed to write cursive. You're only allowed to write on the print, and you're only to write on the computer, and that's it. You don't write thank you notes, you don't write. I don't even think these people read poetry or whatever. You'd have to be an intellectual. Things of that nature. I don't know what they do to amuse themselves. I know what I do to amuse myself. I have no idea.
What would you want someone listening to this to know about you?
About me?
Yeah.
I was raised by very strict parents. They were very knowledgeable. We were girls, so they were on our case about protecting us. Being an artist, I was a free thinker. I gave my mother a lot of trouble. Especially about art and religion. About religion. We were raised high Episcopal. I got tired of going in and out of the wall, those kneeling and stuff. Oh my God, it crossed my mind constantly. Oh my God, I said, this is not for me. Besides religion, you study the different religions, and they're all mean to women. I said, I gotta find something else. And then I found Sybil Leek and read things her, and then there's another woman, I can't remember right now. And it was Maiden Mother Crone. And then I started reading all the history about that. And I was every bit of 12 and 13, every bit of 12. And after I saw the 13 Stations of the Cross, I went the Louvre, the Prado, I saw all the different stuff. I decided that I wanted to be Wiccan. And didn't realize at the time, before I went to Powwows, that I was praying in the four directions. The east for air, the south for fire, the west for water, and the north for earth. And it was what you do when we're Indians. We do the same thing. Burn candles. I smudge. We smudge. That way I smudge. And I go, well, I'll go out. I won't kill anybody today. You know? You know, my religion has kept me through every day as well. And then I read everything from all the different countries about Wicca. And I follow the moon when it goes into all the signs. I'm a Cancer, so I go into everybody's sign because I'm ruled by the moon. Every 2 to 3 days, I go into somebody else's sign. And sometimes can feel that persona. That's how it is for me, you know? And also with Wicca, you learn a lot. You learn all kinds of history. My witch's almanac. You learn about the weather, your sign. You learn about all kinds of little stories and little ditties from all over the world. They have in your. I have witch's almanacs from the 70s. They're all in my room. You read about everything. Mushrooms, all kinds of little anecdotes.
with your witchcraft. You read about leaves and herbs and healings and potions and who did what. Walt Disney. Everything you learn from this is about what the summer is going to be. Your weather. That's where they get the weather, your weather books. And then you have your monthly thing with your signs. So what's today's signs? We're in Aries. Tuesday, Aries. So all that is in here, plus all little stories. What phases of the moon you're in and what they mean and the signs and the symbols. And all those signs and symbols, you can go to everywhere in the country and you put it down. That's the symbol for the sun. All witches know this. They all share with each other those kind of things. So I've been doing this for a long time. All my life, since I was 12. But that's kept me together too, my religion. And which is really, really good, and keeps my mind active, it makes you think about stuff, besides yourself, and then I raised my son. Where is that little creep? This is the one picture I have him of him. That was when he was younger. He's now 52. September 3rd, he'll be 52. This is when he was much younger. This is like 20 years ago. He's in Hawaii. Then that's my sister's son and his wife. They live down in Delaware, and